be a goose. Crack open the wine.
Hello.
Welcome to Butler's podcast.
We actually did that in time for a change.
For once.
Because you're saying the right thing.
The right thing being what you
Butlers.
Want me to say. Absolute muppet.
Right. This week we are talking about English Wine Week.
Yes. And when's that happening?
From the 17th to the 25th of June.
June. Yes. Happens
what
every
do you mean
year.
June? We got an echo.
It happens every year.
Yeah, well, you're normally at the start of the summer, and it's a national campaign to promote English wines. So for us being an independent merchant in the UK, we should be talking about it. And we sell lots of English wines.
Yes, so there are lots of promotions on the go across the country, lots of events, and there are big trade shows and things like that. But the focus is really on the quality wines of the UK, that's England and Wales.
Yes.
And that's not to be confused with lesser quality British wines, which some people still refer to, which are confected things made from chemicals mainly, and drunk on a park bench. These
nice.
Are not the wines we're focusing on.
No, these ones you can still drink on a park bench, but they're more expensive and they taste much better.
Yes, okay, yes you can. Be careful with your glassware though.
Who needs a glass?
So, I was thinking earlier that the English wines, English and Welsh wines, have come on so far, haven't they? And improved in terms of their quality. The public perception of them has improved. Lots of people want to buy into these wines, don't they, and support them.
Yes, so they should.
I think over the last couple of years or so, with Brexit, consumption is on the rise of UK wines, but that doesn't make up for all the negatives of Brexit, of course. So
we're talking about that now.
No, we're not.
let's leave that till the end. Let's start with some positives.
I was just thinking about English wines have been on my radar since, say, the early 80s, the early 1980s. When you were born, and most of the wines then were still white wines made from German varieties and were generally sort of medium sweet, not particularly to my taste, I guess, and would oxidise really quickly, I thought.
But there wasn't so much knowledge about them then, or...
No.
And the production wasn't as efficient as it is now.
No, probably the investment wasn't there either. And the climate has changed, hasn't it, over the years? It is warmer over here now.
Now we're looking at 30 degrees.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's a hot week, yeah. It's a hot week.
But it's just like a dramatically different market out there now, I think, and for the better. I think there was a gear shift, wasn't there, in the whenever it was, the mid-90s, early to mid-90s, where sparkling wines started to come out, and sparkling wines using Chardonnay and Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier.
The same grapes as Champagne, they are.
They are the same shape, the grapes as Champagne, and the same shape. but they were premium wines, quality wines, and allowed the producers to get more of a return on the bottle sold for them as well. So
yeah, I think to start with, it was quite a tough sell, really, because people didn't want to spend that money and wanted to know what justified that price, which
yes.
we will come back to as well. But I think people now understand there's a lot more people producing wine in this country, and there's a lot more marketing around it and export as well, which has helped. So they're sort of on a global scale now rather than just being in the UK.
Yes, so there are over 800 vineyards in England and Wales. I think what would be the furthest north, somewhere in Yorkshire probably, and a lot of them are in the on the southern coast, which would be Hampshire, Sussex, Kent, Cornwall, and into southern Wales as well.
Essex
seems to be an area where people want to plant at the moment, and
on the edge of the motorway,
getting really good results. You're not a fan of Essex then?
I've never been, but it looks quite good. I think I'd fit in nicely.
I think you would with your Uckfield language. 160 wineries, over 160 wineries. And so the reason for the smaller number than the vineyards is there are lots of people growing grapes who don't have a winery, who don't make their wine. so they would sell their fruit on to other people. But they're popping up all over the place, aren't they? We notice it, I think, a bit more, maybe, because we're in Sussex and there are a lot of quality producers in, in Sussex, aren't there? A lot.
A lot. Yes. Yeah, almost as many as gin producers.
Yes, and craft beers. Yeah, they're all bloody same. I guess as well we...
And we have similar, what's it called, soil to France, for example. So the south coast, we've got, what are we on, chalk and limestone?
Chalk and limestone, yeah. Little bits of clay here and there, aren't there? But
south-facing slope, so you get extra warmth.
Yeah, warmth.
Right, enough.
So, yes, so the fruit gets riper, and as we touched on, climate change has allowed longer, warmer years, ripening season, so the fruit has got more of a chance of getting the sugar levels up and then, therefore, the alcohol levels.
It's tricky, though, because the way things are going, because we've had such a lot of heat at the moment, I think it could be tricky for some winemakers at the moment.
Yes.
Because it can be too hot as well.
Can be too hot and the season gets ahead of itself.
Yes, everything's ripening really fast.
It's atypical, isn't it? So on average, out of 10 years, you maybe get three really, really good or excellent years, three average years and four disastrous years or poor years. So it is a marginal climate. And I imagine if you're you've got a vineyard and you're a grower, you're probably nervous each year, aren't you? Because
holding back what
the weather's going to throw
some
at
wine.
You.
So you can blend multiple vintages, can't you?
Which is why the sparkling wines have become popular and successful. Yes, is because you can hedge your bets a little bit and blend, keep back and blend multiple vintages. So if you've got a really good one with lots of high yield, you can maybe even that out with the one that was like a lesser vintage but a small yield, and then maybe something in the middle, and so you can blend those, get a decent quality wine out of it, and not lose any stock. That's good.
And talk about PDO. What did I say? Do not drink tea while you're recording this.
Well, I'm parched.
You're not. I'm mumbling. Parched.
You said drink it before we come on, but I couldn't because the kettle had just boiled, so I've got a burnt face.
You have not.
And now I'm drinking my tea to moisten. So.
Oh my god! Talk PDO. About PDO.
Do you talk about PDO? If you want to talk about it, it's like the Appellation Contrôlé System in France is a legal entity that sets out some parameters, maybe some grape varieties, the geographical area that you're allowed to grow your wine in.
So it's a good thing. It means that you've got quality and you want to be looking out for that on your label.
It implies quality, and Sussex, for example, is a recognised, approved region and protected. So if your wine is grown and made in Sussex, you're allowed to call it Sussex, and if it was made in Kent, you wouldn't be allowed to associate yourself with Sussex, the Sussex label. So yes, the stricter framework now, everything is aiming towards quality wine, which is good for the consumer. So we will get used to having these sort of labels on our wines, and the consumer can have confidence that those wines are made with quality.
And we are very lucky because we're kind of in the centre of a lot of it going on down here in the south. We know the winemakers. So we've sort of, like, you've been working with them since you opened, since they started producing. Most of them. So a lot of the time we were kind of the first people to buy their first vintages, and so we have a good relationship.
Yes.
And we know where the fruit's coming from, we know what's going into it, we know we can guarantee the quality.
There's another link, of course, with Plumpton Wine College.
Yes.
Which offers the winemaking degree courses and wine business.
And that's in Sussex, that's courses. Only a few miles away from us in Brighton.
Yes, just north of here.
And I think it's the only college in the UK that you can study winemaking and wine production. So most winemakers who are making wine in the UK have probably studied at Plumpton.
Yeah.
Which is quite cool for us. You went to Plumpton. Most of our staff come from Plumpton.
Yeah.
And it works really well. And we take on lots of their students to help us, or what's it called when they pretend to work for a bit?
Apprenticeship.
No.
Yeah, well,
that kind of
work
thing.
Work shy.
No. Work, what's it called?
Placement.
That kind of thing. Oh, it's annoying.
Okay. Okay, we'll come back to it.
Oh.
But they're good, and they have their own vineyard, so the course is you're responsible for growing the fruit and turning it into wine as part of your course, which is really hands-on. It'd be hard to replicate
work experience
that anywhere else. Well done.
Whew.
Thank you for coming.
Oh my gosh.
Lots of different grape varieties are planted across the country. There's still a heavy, sort of quite a heavy dominance of the more aromatic Germanic varieties such as Müller Thurgau and Bacchus.
They're mainly on the still wines.
On the still wines.
White wines.
Bacchus is very popular, isn't it? It suits our climate, it grows well, and it creates often a wine that's similar to New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc in style.
Yeah, so that's a useful selling point, and people like it. It's approachable,
yeah.
And it reminds you of the British summer. Lots of elderflower.
And then you've also got the French varieties such as Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, which are mainly used in sparkling wines.
And reds, probably Pinot Noir, Dornfelder.
Yeah.
A bit of Cabernet Franc.
No.
Yes.
Maybe, little bits.
What was that? We had that wine that we sold loads of, and then we can't get again.
Oh, we weren't allowed to buy it anymore, were we? Because we sold too much of it.
Yeah.
I assume that was their rationale.
Which was 100% Cabernet Franc.
Was it? Was it Rondo is another one.
Okay, it's not wine quiz. Yeah, really well known.
So, and of course, looking at the market, the UK market is important, and that's where most of the sales will be. But the UK is quite a small market, and it has the UK wine drinkers drink wines from all over the world. So the UK wines are just a small part of that. So we need to also export wines, and they have been on the increase as well. So the export market going into mainland Europe and to the States,
America,
Canada.
Lots in Sweden, I think.
Scandinavia, yeah. They we're having good success there.
China and Japan.
Okay, I didn't know that, but I guess so. So, which is good. It's all positive stories, isn't it? Which we should all get together and celebrate during English Wine Week, which probably coincides with Wimbledon as well. Another reason to celebrate stuff.
Well, I mean, a bottle of English sparkling rosé and some strawberries is a very fine pairing.
Even if you do say so yourself.
Mm-hmm. Can't have it, but
no.
No cream for me.
No strawberries for you. So we've got some...
We were talking about what justifies the price. Because I think people often comes up in conversation with us being retail.
Yes.
Predominantly retail.
Yes, there is a variety of prices, but they do. None of them are particularly cheap.
No, you're not going to get a £6 bottle of wine
no.
from England.
No. The land is often really expensive to start with. You know, you've only got to try and buy a house in the southeast at the moment, and it's virtually impossible, isn't it?
Yep.
So if you wanted to plant some vineyards,
And that takes a while as well. So by the time you've planted, you've got to wait years for them to start producing fruit. And then you've got to make wine, and that takes years.
Yes.
So production is slow and very costly with the equipment, the bottling, everything. The cost of people to do it.
The amounts made are still quite small.
Yeah, tiny volumes.
Like a handful of big producers, Chapel Down or Nye Timber, Ridgeview is getting quite big as well, aren't they? A lot of the production, especially on the still wine, we get offered a few cases and then you sort of get into it, get it running, and then they've run out, haven't they? For the year.
And also, unfortunately, Brexit has had a massive impact because lots of the equipment that you need to make the wines, even the bottles, the labels, the corks, are from Europe. And shipping is a nightmare, and everything, the cost of everything has gone up hugely, and there's delays on everything. So often we have consistency with the wine, and then the producer can't get the labels, for example, and that can take months, and it's insane. So they've got stock sitting there, and they can't put a label on it. So yes. It all has an effect, doesn't it?
It does, a negative effect, but this is all about English Wine Week and let's try and keep it upbeat.
Yes, but that justifies the price. So it when does you're sort of when you're looking at spending 15, 20 pounds on a still wine from England or 25 plus on sparkling, you know, all of these things add up and sort of justify that price point.
Yes. And
you're tasting a sort of, it's like a little piece of history.
Most of the English sparkling wines would be regarded as a luxury product, wouldn't they? It's a treat.
Yeah. We have really up and down weather. So some years we can get really bad frost, well, most of the time, and that can wipe out a crop, like the entire harvest. Yeah. So people can lose everything just because the weather's rubbish.
It's very challenging.
Yeah.
But I think it's sort of admirable, I think, how many producers are out there doing a really good thing and pushing forward and trying to better their wines each year. I think it's exciting. The presentation on a lot of them is a load better now, isn't it? The accessibility, you can get them in more
and they taste really nice.
And they taste really nice, yeah. They have nice freshness to them, don't they? They're very drinkable.
Yep. You can definitely have more than one bottle.
Talking of that, one wine that we've been promoting and very pleased to get back into the shop just recently is the Aubourne Estate Bacchus.
Yes, which is on offer now. We've got that on offer for English Wine Week.
Excellent. And that's probably the closest vineyard to our shop, I would think, isn't it? 8 miles away.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Pretty close, isn't it? Aubourne Estate, making a still white wine that we have in stock from Bacchus. Very aromatic, very fruity, lovely acidity, dry finish, unoaked, nice label, well presented, super drinkable, isn't it?
Yeah, all of their labels are really good, actually. We've got a range of still wines from them, including a red, actually, with a fox on it.
Yeah.
Pinot Noir.
Which was only bought in because it had a fox on the label, isn't it?
I like foxes. I have my little friendly fox in the garden.
Yes.
You can see that on Instagram if you're interested, anyone.
Probably with a bottle of the Aubourne wine with the fox on the label. What else are we showing this? I think it's good. The blog that we've got on the website at the moment really shows the diversity of different styles of English wine.
Yeah, we've tried to pick different types of wines made in different ways as well to show what can be done. So such as Vindemiat.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Thing.
Raindrops on Roses.
With a couple of cats on the label, which is going to sell it, isn't it?
Well, that's,
it does sell.
I was going to say, we buy it, even if it tasted horrible, we'd have it because it's got cats on.
It's a pink wine, pet nat sort of style with a crown cap. Super fruity, very aromatic, clean, dry, gentle.
It smells a bit like sweets. I mean, it's not sweet at all, but you open a bag of gummy sweets or something, you get that real nose of fruity, mouth-watering melon and cherry and
some floral bits in there, I think.
Yeah, lychee and that kind of thing, cranberry and
super drinkable though, isn't it? And very pretty little wine.
Yes, and really excitingly, one of their new vintages is going to have our adopted cat on the label as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yes. I suppose that's the most exciting thing that's happened to us in ages. A new wine to us, which I'm going to throw this one in here, even if it's out of sync, is the Coolhurst, the Miller's Tale Blanc Noir. They also make a Provence Rosé, which is really good if you haven't had it before, because it's quite savoury and works really well with food. But their Blanc de Noir, made from 100% Pinot Noir, is really lovely. It's very generous, medium rich. Presentation, the bottle and the necktie thing is really cool. But it's got a nice mellow sort of style to it. It's spent a long time on its lees, and so when it's released, it's ready to drink, and it's not too super sharp. It's like the acidity is blended in there really, really nicely. And that's new to our shelves and well worth looking out for, I would say.
Talking of bottle age, we can't forget Breaky Bottoms, one of our absolute favourite producers.
Yes.
Made by Peter Hall, who is a friend of ours. And he's excellent. If he ever lets you on his land, it's well worth a visit.
Yes, don't sneak on there because you might get shot. You might mistake you for a pheasant or something. This is a champagne sort of blend, isn't it? He makes lots of different wines.
Yeah, and he still does sparkling just with 100% Sauvignon Blanc as well, which not many do.
No.
And he's been doing it since forever, so he was probably one of the first using Sauvignon in Fizz.
They planted in 1974, so...
And you've sold their wines pretty much since... Well, since the shop opened in 79.
But 79, yeah.
And his wines are brilliant. He releases them much later than everybody else. So we've, you know, the vintages, you get some 5 to 10 year old wines,
yeah,
which are the current releases. The Andrew Davis that we're sort of highlighting for English Wine Week is, 2016, and was named after his neighbour who was a good friend of his. All of them have got a personal story to them as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, he's an iconic producer, a person, lovely, lovely. And Christine, they're both really good, aren't they?
I was going to say, well, they're very good friends. I need to message her, actually.
Indeed. Where are we going next? What about the
Ridgeview?
Sparkling Red from them we're promoting, which you don't see very often. It won't last forever in terms of supply. It looks really good, doesn't it? I'm looking at the presentation of it. It's fantastic. It's made from Pinot Noir. It's got a really deep colour, and it's from a vintage that was... super ripe fruit, and so he, Simon, the winemaker, wanted to make this style of generous style of sparkling red. Works really well on its own or with barbecues. And
I was going to say anything with a char on it. And Ridgeview are really close to ours. They're good friends of ours as well.
Yeah.
We even got married at their vineyard last year.
Yes. Don't try and get married there because they won't let you.
It's a one-off
for us.
And it was excellent. We had really the best time. Yeah,
we drank lots of Ridgeview, strangely enough.
But they're fantastic producers. They have a restaurant on site now as well, so they're well worth a visit, called Rose and Vine.
Rose and Vine, yeah. I really like this sparkling red. It's
it's very funky. Winey. And if people like, you know, sometimes we'll get asked for a sparkling Shiraz, or there's people who really want that kind of style, and it is excellent for the summer, for barbecuing. And also, yes, a point of difference. So if you want to go and visit someone who's really into wine and you want to impress them or give them something they've never tried before, that's definitely one to take round.
Another funky wine, which is, looks really cool, is called Sugro Zodo. Zodo sort of referring to zero dosage, so it's really bone dry. A combination of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, mostly Chardonnay, but a big chunk of Pinot Noir. Dermot Sugru, he makes lots of different wines, doesn't he? And this is his own label.
Yep, Dermot's excellent. Again, he's a friend of ours.
Top quality.
He's just moved very close to ours, actually. We need to go and hang out with them.
Yeah, and his own vineyards are out the north of Lewis, aren't they?
So yeah, I'm not allowed out there again.
No.
After I went on a hen party.
That's another story. It's near where you threw axes as well, I think, isn't it? Didn't you just
it wasn't there.
I thought it was. Anyway, although it's bone dry, again, it's the fruit is really ripe, so it is quite, has a generous feel to it.
Yeah, it's a really funky wine.
It is super drinkable. So it's just sort of highlighting, or we're trying to highlight the diverse range of English wines that are available, and Welsh wines, although we haven't got any Welsh in at the moment. Whether it be still, sparkling, or bits in between, there's plenty out there to choose from, isn't there?
Yes. We highly recommend you go to your closest independent wine merchant, especially if you're in Kemp Town, Brighton.
Yeah.
Or order online. Investigate Wine GB, because they'll have a series of events listed all over the UK for English Wine Week.
Yes, and probably try and make the most of... the sort of tourism side.
I was going to say, go and visit vineyards, because it's a really good day out.
Yeah, and it's the same for us. You know, if you go and visit someone or taste their wine and you get on with the people, you want to work or drink their wines a bit more often. If there's someone who's quite surly or doesn't want you to come in, then we tend to steer away from them.
We've got loads around us in Sussex. The Rathven is a good one as well. They've got a lovely... you can get a good picnic over there, sit in the vineyard.
And they're sort of fine dining as well.
Just buy a bottle and sit in the garden is ideal. Take it round to friends, make an occasion out of it, and do a cheers to English Wine Week.
Well, on that note, I think we should, shouldn't we? Cheers to English Wine Week.
Have a good week, everybody.
Plenty to enjoy. Go and explore some English wines and have fun.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you got all that. Doodle pip.